right, time for another Draft Science on YouTube, Draft Physics here in therealworld.com, and Debate Physics also. So the Debate Physics website has been modestly updated to include what are almost conversations, but really they have to be conversations because the evasion of the subjects is just, you know, gratuitous. Completely unresponsive text comments, not even close to arguing anything argued in the videos. So until I can get somebody to have, find somebody with the courage, I will pay you for your time, so just tell me how much you're worth. And clearly you have to have some knowledge of physics. That is, you have to be able to cite some experiments or cite some sort of a lecturer, you know, MIT, or you have to go to Stanford or somewhere and point out how you had this argument you're going to make has some sort of credibility because you have some sort of evidence to back it up. You can't just talk crap like, I don't believe you. Yeah, you have to do better than that. And you have to respond to the argument. So, you know, in the last video, I have, you know, tried to give a little, you know, synopsis of this kinetic energy argument and the fact that there is no evidence. The history is horrible. I've pointed that out. No one accounts for the horrible history. Terrible evidence presented. That has no credibility. It's a religious theory in its origin, and it still is. It's just a dogma without any, not connected to any bigger story. Not connected to its original origin, which was clearly just religion. You know, God needs to play a role. Living force is what it was called. Complete baby talk to anybody who cares about science. You know, it's a horrible, horrible history. No physical evidence. And just a bunch of silly proclamations and nonsense formulas. Formulas that predict free energy. Yet there is no free energy. Yet there is no evidence that free energy is possible. The formula overtly predicts it. Adding more heat to a system for free. You know, those arguments have to be addressed. You know, until they are, there's no point, there's no argument, right? Because I win. You've totally failed to present any evidence defending either Leibniz, de Chatelet, Young, or any of the mathematical derivations as having any kind of rationality, as they are free energy derivations. You still haven't even demonstrated that Newton said F equals ma. You just keep saying it. All right, so read this really stupid comment. I mean, it's just so ignorant, so vacuous, so mush, so, oh, we've already been there and done this, okay? This is how to convert from E equals FD. Well, that's not even right. It's W equals FD to EK, like there is such a thing. There's energy, period, energy, in joules. It's a real thing. It's a quantity of energy. Watts, joules, pounds, kilograms, right? It's a real thing. You can't sit there and play this little game like, oh, no, it's kilograms imagination. Kilograms, you know, only in public bathrooms. I mean, you can't do all this qualification that this is about something other than something very real. Real joules, real bullets going through apples, that kind of stuff. It's real energy. It's not an imaginary conversation. It's a conversation about what's in the real physical universe. So playing these little games between, well, it's potential energy or it's kinetic energy. It's differently different. No, there's no differently different. Nobody gets to wish they were something. They have to actually be the something. All right. And from P equals MV, well, it's just, you know, it's almost a silly thing to say, but, you know, because you're just replacing two letters with one letter in that case. Clearly, MV is momentum, okay? To EK equals, so again, the same thing, equals 1/2 MV squared. Well, you can't do that. You can't get from MV to 1/2 mv squared. It's completely on its face retarded. There's no possible way that mv also equals 1/2 mv squared. There's no possible way that can happen. Silly person. All right, you must convert each formula to get the correct velocity and mass. No, that's how you get the incorrect velocity and mass. That's how you say things that are completely stupid and unproven and nonsense, like it takes 4 times more gas to go twice the speed. You have zero evidence. I just keep pointing that out. No, you don't. No, it doesn't. That's just crap you made up. That's your formula getting the wrong answer, and you can't figure out that, well, maybe I should prove something. Maybe I should provide evidence somewhere. Maybe I should prove that 8-pound bowling balls knock down more pins than 16-pound bowling balls before I say it. Shit. You can't find the kinetic energy and plug in... So he says you can't find the kinetic energy and plug it in directly to the momentum formula. Why would I even try to do that? And frankly, the momentum formula can't get any simpler. Mass times velocity. Why would I want to plug something into something already as simple as it gets? Too stupid. So he gives a link to a really stupid video. So we'll play this stupid video because that's all we got. Right? That's all they have as a counter argument. Is complete gibberish. You know, just absolute no physical evidence, no experiment, no anything. Just mushy talk. Okay, none of these energy are real. None of these energy are real. So he says something that stupid when clearly the assertion is it is real. It's put in real quantity. You can't say, oh, it has 10 joules of energy. Well, they're not real joules. Well, what do you mean they're not real? Can you have non-real watts in an electric circuit? I mean, can you show me the electric circuit where there's non-real watts in it? Fuck. Anyway, they are just ideas to help us, to help you what? Completely pervert reality into a silly religious theory. There's no reality here. There's no evidence for this. Help you what? You're not getting to the truth. You're not telling the truth. You're not teaching the truth. You're not propagandizing for the truth. You're just basically lying, sitting here just lying. I have a theory that somehow has got some merit. No, it doesn't. It has no merit. You can't prove it. You can't even give anybody reason to believe it, except saying everybody else believes it. We all talk the same gibberish. Energy isn't real. It's just something we made up to help us to understand the world in the godly way. God can do mysterious things, so that's why we have mv squared, because then everything can be magically energied. I mean, what is it? Understand the world in a more digestible format. You can't digest mv. That's too hard to digest. Bills... You know, money that say $50 or $100 or $1,000 and a number of bills. That would be the equivalent of mass and velocity. Mass would be the number of bills, okay, and velocity would be how high are the bills. You can't understand. Shit. The only thing that is real is matter, says you. Clearly, the force is pretty real because it makes real things happen. Shit. I mean, let me shoot a blue laser, a green laser into your eyeball, and we'll see how real the light is. Oh, fuck. And matter is in motion. So, just complete baby talk. Baby, 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 baby. Are you going to shake a little rattle too? What is that? Mush. Just mush. Alright, so this is this stupid video. Fortunately, it's short. Let's do physics in 4 minutes. Anyway, it's 10 years old or whatever the hell it is. the guy gave up on making videos about anything that could mean anything. He did kayaking videos. So he gave up on being a physicist of any kind. And for good reason, frankly, because this is just mush. This is just such generic poorly premised, absolute bullshit.
Hello, and welcome back to another episode of Let's Talk Physics.
Yes, with music in the background for absolutely no good reason, because people who want to talk physics have to have some other distraction, because they can't handle just hearing the truth.
This is going to be a fairly short episode, because I'm writing...
Yeah, so it's already short, and he's going to waste a whole minute of it telling me shit I don't need to know.
Middle of my exams at the minute, so I don't have much time.
Exams in what? Because you obviously aren't doing physics.
Now, today's question is sent in by Kelvin Jones, who is asking why kinetic energy is proportional to velocity squared. Now, for someone...
and it's only proportional in the sense that obviously it doesn't, there's no equivalency. And it was originally directly equal to the v squared thing, mv squared. There was no half in front of it.
Obscure reason, you people have decided that my most popular video so far is me making a whistle.
Well, you only had like 4 videos at the time, so yeah, out of the 4 videos, yes, carrot whistle might win. Durr.
Out of a carrot. So with that in mind, I'm going to be using a carrot as my demonstrative tool today.
Yeah, there's no demonstration of anything.
So anyway, on with
the... No real demonstration of anything.
Video. Now... Consider my carrot, and this carrot is on a frictionless, flat surface.
Which is non-existent, really, so you might as well just say it's going to be falling in air. So you might as well just make it a gravity equation, again, and then tell me that two balls hitting each other is the same as gravity, when, of course, they're not. There's no constant forces, there's none of that stuff. There's the energy of one of them, the energy of the other one, and there'll be a calculation. They'll do the math by hitting each other of who has the most energy. But there won't be any constant force. There's no gravity involved.
And I'm going to apply a constant force to this object.
So what would that be exactly? There's no such thing. We don't have any way to manipulate or make a constant force. Because in truth, the constant force of gravity... I might as well do the drawing now. Yeah, you're just so dumb. To fall for this crap, to not understand what's really happening. Okay, gravity is different than any other force, right? We can't duplicate gravity. I could push this pen frictionless, right? So there's no air resistance. I'm just going to push it. Now, if my hand's going 20 miles an hour, that's as fast as the thing's going to go. It's going to go 20 miles an hour. I can be applying a constant force and it'll do absolutely no good. Just like your car needs a gearbox to translate the torque. Because if you don't translate it, you'll just run the engine really fast and the car won't go any faster because you're going as fast as you're pushing. So it's not a constant force. You can't apply a constant force because you can't make a constant force. You can't make something that keeps going faster and faster. You can only make it go as fast as the thing you're hitting it with or pushing it with. All right, and so if you can... You know, you have to, you know, expand your minds a little bit and figure out some things like, well, gravity's moving a speed, isn't it? Oh, yes, it's the speed of light, okay? So if you thought of gravity as being a little tiny bit of mass moving the speed of light and it was hitting you, you would understand that that little, okay, tiny mass, it's very small mass, but a very big velocity is going to hit an object, right, that has a much bigger mass. Okay, but doesn't have any velocities, you know, very small velocity. And all you're going to do is blend those two into each other, and that's what gravity is doing to you. So gravity has itself a maximum speed. So if you were pushing the carrot, okay, with gravity, okay, you'd have the same issue eventually, right? Your gravity's moving the speed of light, and as it's being absorbed by the carrot, right? It goes faster and faster and faster and faster, but as soon as you get to the speed of light, well, you're out of luck. Your pushing force now isn't any force at all. There's going to be no force applied to the carrot because your pushing force can't reach the carrot. Because the carrot's now going as fast as the speed of light. Therefore, your pushing force stays here, and your carrot stays here, and the two things never meet, and so you can't push. So the whole mechanics of all of these things can be understood just as a simple collision, right? You just think of the objects as actually being moving objects, okay, in an actual physical three-dimensional universe, and they're actually going to make contact with each other. And you can sort of understand that if a big heavy thing going at velocity hits a small thing that has no velocity, what is basically going to happen is this velocity has to be transferred to the small object. Well, clearly, the small object is much less massive, so it doesn't need as much V to go the same speed. It doesn't need as many dollar bills, right? So you're just going to basically transfer the money. But there's a point where you already filled this bank, and your bank has still got stuff in it. So all you can really do is cut this velocity with each transfer, with each little bit of energy. When the two contact each other, the little bits of energy are going to fly in. And there'll be a point where this one, I have the same velocity as you, right? So it starts with a little tiny velocity, no velocity, zero velocity. And the velocity will grow, and it grows, and it grows. And there'll be a point where the velocity of this one declining, this one's velocity will decline a little as it's giving away a little bit of its energy, its money. So its bank is losing, okay, money. This one's gaining money. Okay, and they're doing it at a certain point, they'll be equal. And at that point, this one leaves. You know, a little less, you know, more than equal, right? This one gave it away. Okay, so there's a point where this one has $15 and this one has $15. And then this one gives one more penny. And now this one has $15 and, 01. And this one has $14 and 99. Right, and at that point, this one leaves this one. So there's no more, I can't change, I can't give you any more money. So it's all done giving it money. So this one lost whatever the total amount of this one's energy is. So whatever the MV it has when it leaves, this one has that, has its original MV minus the MV it gave away. So it's always just a transfer. So this goes to another point to be made, is that, you know, there's a Newton's third law that says for every action, there's an equal reaction, an opposite reaction. No, there really isn't. Okay, I mean, it's clear that this goes down, this bank goes down, and this bank goes up. But that's not an equal and opposite reaction. If I give away money, I gave it away, okay? There was no opposite reaction that took the money out of my bank. Okay, giving away the money is why I have less. No need for an opposite reaction. So there is no opposite reaction. That's just that's poor verbiage. The concept that you get poorer as you make somebody else richer, yes, that's the correct concept. Okay, that there's a fixed amount of money and all you can do is exchange it. And in the process of exchanging it, you're either going to profit and somebody else is going to lose, or you're going to lose and they're going to profit. But that's the only thing that can possibly happen. And if nothing happens, if you both stay, you both walk away with what you had originally, well, then it's a non-event. I mean, a non-event in terms of an energy transfer. It can be an event in terms of a direction change. All right. I never thought I'd have to teach, you know, grammar school. What a nightmare. You know, a bunch of obnoxious 10-year-olds. No, thank you.
Now, according to Newton's second law,
okay, so this isn't Newton's second law. So it's just a big, juicy, fat lie. Newton didn't say any such thing. It doesn't even make any sense. Mass times the rate of acceleration. Right, acceleration can only mean something as a rate. You accelerate at a rate. So when you're hitting the other object, it really isn't going anywhere until it leaves, right? There's no chance. So the transfer is always while they're connected, while they're hitting each other, they transfer the energy. So there's a moment where they just stick. They do the transfer, and then the thing has enough velocity to leave. But it can't really accelerate in any sense of the word, because you'd argue that, well, how does it accelerate? You know, how does it accomplish this task? So it's just a notion. In the real world, there's no such thing. And it's really an exchange. You're exchanging real impacts at a rate. And the rate's going to change as you start filling the bank. It's maybe a simpler way to say it. But again, this perversion For what purpose? Why do you keep saying something that isn't true? Because everybody keeps saying it, right? But it's not Newton's formula. Newton said the force equals the change in your momentum over any unit of time you choose to choose. You can make it in seconds or minutes or hours, or you can do the total amount of time, as I've pointed out. So again, another ignored argument. So linking me to a video that just keeps saying the same things I've already refuted and disputed and I think successfully pointed out is not the truth. So just you keep lying at me and I'm supposed to react how? You know, like you have some kind of credibility? You keep premising arguments on ridiculous, in my opinion, lies. 1/2 mv² is not Newton's physics. It's Newton's worst enemy's physics. You know, you're really insulting Isaac Newton. You're spitting on him for no good reason. He wasn't as dumb as you, plainly. He didn't understand the universe as you're pretending he did. He understood mass and velocity. And he understood that was nothing was squared. And all of his predictions, all of his accurate predictions about how the universe worked, were based on him understanding momentum, not based on him understanding anything called kinetic energy, 1/2 mv². That wasn't Newton's understanding. So quit lying about him.
But MA, the current will accelerate in the direction of the force.
Right. If you're pushing it, though, won't that acceleration be almost invisible? Because you're going to have so much extra pushing power to be pushing a carrot. It's so light, right? So you're going to have it going up to the speed that your hand is moving in no time at all. And your hand is going to weigh more than the carrot. So what you're really going to be pushing is your hand, not the carrot.
And because I'm applying constant force...
And how are you doing that? How are you applying a constant force? There's no such thing in our physical world, right? You could hit it with what? What's the constant force? All the forces depend on how they hit surfaces. You know, you'll crumple up the little green part. You'll deform the carrot. There's not going to be any constant force that you can create. And again, the constant force you're going to create is going to have, like, you could blow wind at 20 miles an hour. You could have water moving at 40 miles an hour. They all have a limitation. So again, this is just nonsense that you can calculate all of those deformations and sit there and tell me how fast the carrot will accelerate. That's a pile of crap. No chance at all.
The carrot will have a constant acceleration.
It won't have a constant acceleration. So again, it's not gravity. So again, they're just pretending that collisions are gravity. Collisions aren't caused by gravity. Collisions aren't made by gravity. When a wrecking ball is hitting, yes, gravity is creating the energy, okay? But it has nothing to do with constant forces and accelerations and all of that crapola. It just has to do with the velocity that the wrecking ball will have. When you drop it from a certain height, you swing it. Okay, it'll gain a certain amount of energy, and that's what it has, velocity and mass, when it hits the brick wall. It doesn't have any 1/2 mv².
So we can write this.
If it did, right, it would be much more logical for wrecking balls to be very small. You know, we should be shooting guns, because the guns produce, for the amount of energy you put in, you get these insane amounts of energy out. So you'd be shooting buildings down with guns instead of using a giant wrecking ball.
F equals M delta V.
So just more mush where they try to say that it has something to do with your velocity over time or your distance when, no, it doesn't. So the force, okay, does not equal this. Newton already just pointed out what the force equals. It equals MV, not V over the time. Not an acceleration. Both of them were under time to point out that it's a unit. So again, this is the first perversion, I guess, right? Is to sit there and say, Newton wrote this. No, he didn't write this. Clearly, velocity is the only thing that's going to change. But the having the total of the mass times the velocity before you do the units of time is important. All right? And again, the unit of time can be the total amount of time of the interaction. So if you're going to say that I'm going to be calculating this for a collision has a fixed amount of time in which it takes place. If you just make the unit of time that fixed amount of time, then this turns into a 1. And you have F equals the change in your velocity, okay? Because that you're not going to change your mass. So the change in your velocity will be the only relevant feature in a collision. In most all interactions, there won't be a change in mass. So all you're really calculating is what's the consequence of the change in your velocity. And that will be what's different. The velocity of the small object will go from 0 to some amount of velocity. Well, the total change in the velocity will effectively be the total change in the energy. Because you're not going to change the mass.
For delta T, where delta V over delta T is the change in velocity divided by the change in time, which is the...
The change in time is the wrong thing to say, right? This has nothing to do with any change in time. Newton didn't say a change in time. Newton said the time. So if you want to know the force per second, you put in seconds. How many seconds was it? You divide by how many seconds, then you'll know the force per second. You want minutes, you can have it in minutes. You can have it in hours. It's just a way of putting it into units if you want to know the rate. Now, obviously, Newton was concerned with rates because the whole point is when he wrote this formula, he wrote it in the context of describing the movement of crap in the universe, okay, under the force of gravity. So he was talking about a force that applies its energy per second or per minute or per hour. It's a rain, and he's telling you how heavy is the rain, the rate of rain, 1 inch per hour, right? That's the kind of stuff we say. Well, the rain came down at 1 inch per hour for 15 minutes, right? That's why it's in this form, is merely because that's how we describe something, is what was the rate at which it fell, okay? We're not doing the how many total units of energy did it transfer, although that's exactly what MV says. Momentum is telling you how many units there are, how many joules of energy, and the joule can be broken down into electrovolts or anything else you want to break it down in. You can break it down into these minuscule units. But the fact is gravity provided the energy in minuscule units.
Acceleration by definition. Now, whilst I'm pushing the carrot with the constant force F,
All right, so there is no constant force F. Let's just understand, there's no such thing as a force we can apply that we're applying at some infinite velocity, right? Little infinite units. Even in gravity, there's no constant force. The force, again, I'll just give the example. If something's moving as fast as my hand is moving, I can't apply a constant force because as soon as the object's moving the same speed as my hand can't be applying any force. So the game is over. As soon as I get it up to my speed, I can't push it anymore.
Using energy. And the energy I use is equal to the force I apply times the distance I move.
So just mush. Absolute mush. Okay? Has nothing to do with distance. Unless you make everything the same. And everything isn't the same. Heavy objects have more friction. So, you know, again, he said frictionless. Does that apply rationally in any way? No, it doesn't. All right, so this is just a nonsense formula, okay? And to call it delta x, which is what this magical distance, it just isn't true. And this is where everything got broken, is because they fell for things like clay experiments, where a logical person could understand that a substance like clay could have a huge bias for fast things. That is, it applies more friction to things going slow. More clay moves in more different directions. And fast things sneak their way through because they push more clay ahead of them. And by pushing the clay ahead of them, they don't lose the energy in other directions. So a simple logical argument explained in the videos previously again. So all of this stuff, I've already been over it and over it and over it. And yet people keep linking to this crap.
Supplying that force. So here it's force times delta x. So this energy goes into the carrot. So the carrot gains energy equal to the force times the distance it moves.
All right, so that's not the way you'd measure how much energy something has. So again, that's this stupidest saying again, a light object falling, you know, rising 4 times higher in gravity. When we absolutely know when it lands, it doesn't have 4 times as much energy. So we already know this is wrong. It's not the right answer. It's an established by millions of experiments to be wrong, okay? That how much distance it travels will not decide how much energy it has. The energy will be decided by a rational understanding that with higher velocity, you're in the gravity less time because you're moving further faster. It's how much time you're in the gravity, not how far you travel in the gravity, that decides how much momentum you collected. Again, I mean, you can just make examples. I mean, if you're shooting bullets and something moves fast through the bullets, right? It's how long they're in the bullets that decide how many bullets you're going to hit it. So the faster you're going, distance-wise, doesn't mean you're encountering force. It's how much time you're in the force that matters, especially when the force is moving so much faster than you are, the speed of light in this case.
Whilst it's accelerating, which is equal to its mass times the change in velocity divided by the change in time, its acceleration.
So again, this change in time thing is a completely bogus piece of nonsense. There's no change in time. There's the whole time of the experiment, or there's no point in talking about it. There's no change in time. What are you talking about? What's the change in time? There's no such thing.
Times the distance moved, which I've written here as delta x. Now I'm going to rewrite this kinetic energy as mass times the change in velocity times the change in distance over the change in time.
Okay, again, what is the change in time? So there's just no units here, no explanation of what the change in time is. What's the change in time? It has to be the total time of the experiment.
Which is equal to the mass times the velocity times the change in velocity.
So he put that up pretty quick and then it just disappeared. So he did another, I'm just going to put these symbols on different sides. So he takes this and converts it into this and then converts it into this. So somehow time disappeared. And he doubled the velocity. So it became mv times the change in velocity, which he's going to make is the end velocity. So maybe that makes sense to one of you, right? This delta x over delta t is to you velocity, and you're just going to multiply whatever this change number means, right? Which is related to this change in time. So somehow the time just disappeared.
As delta V goes to zero, so as the increments in the increase in velocity get smaller and smaller, this equation actually becomes an integral.
So it's always an integral, because there is no such thing as the constant force, and there's no such thing as the constant acceleration. As a practical fact, there isn't. And it only works for the gravity thing because the speed at which the force is moving is so much faster than any material object we're ever going to encounter. So because the speed difference is so dramatic, is there any reason why this even works for gravity without being an integral? Because the fact is that you're converting a force going the speed of light into a force, a speed going, 10 miles an hour, 1/1,000,000th of the speed, So obviously you don't see the increments that the force is being applied in, but it does work out that it gets weaker and weaker and weaker. The faster you're going, the force is applying less energy because you're already going almost as fast as the force.
We have the kinetic energy is the integral between its starting velocity, V naught, its final velocity, V, of mv with respect to
it. So it is kind of tragic that every nation in the world fell for this crap. Okay, and then it just seems like somebody would want to try to, I don't want to just be a follower longer. I mean, to think that every single country, they couldn't even find any group of people to gain any kind of impetus to say, wait a minute, why are we believing this nonsense? It doesn't work. It's a free energy formula.
dV. And now, assuming the carrot was stationary at the start, just to make life easier, we see that the kinetic energy gained by the carrot is equal to a half.
Well, nobody sees that, frankly. There's no way to see where you got a 1/2 mv squared out of whatever the fuck this derivative stupid thingy is, this integral. This integral doesn't explain the 1/2 at all. So No chance.
mv squared. In the case that the carrot was already moving, we can see that the kinetic energy gained by the carrot once I was applying...
So again, they do this, v squared, you know. You could just do V. You could just get rid of all this nonsense and just understand what just took place. You change something from its velocity to a new velocity. And now you multiply it times the mass, and that tells you the energy. All of this is just complete mush. And again, understand, when this thing was invented, there was no one-half here. So when it was invented, it was just mv squared. Got preposterously wrong answers, and everybody was sure it was the right theory. So it said 50, and the real answer, you know, their new answer, the modern answer, is 25. You know, I could do 50 and 100, even more dramatic. Half off is an amazingly huge error. And they still believed it.
Force is equal to a half m final velocity squared minus initial velocity squared. And so by plugging some numbers into this, we can...
So then they come up with these wacky theories. I mean, this is supposed to be under, you know, one minus the opposite. But anyway, so he's written it his way. Obvious, just absolute mush. Okay, you use this theory, you'll have a free energy formula.
Answer the second part of the question, which is, why does a moving object require more energy to accelerate it than a stationary object?
It actually requires less, so that's the irony, right? So in one case, the formula is saying, you know, the first gallon of gas gets you 30 miles an hour, the second gallon of gas gets you 37 miles an hour, right? Way short. And in the next, you know, you can do another, okay, a sampling of using their formula, and it'll tell you that when a rocket ship's going 400 miles an hour, every gallon of fuel, as it goes faster and faster, has more fuel in it. You're making it go much, much faster with each gallon. Each gallon leads to hundreds of miles per hour of extra velocity, energy. Can't do that, but they say it did. No evidence, though.
So another part of the question is essentially, what's the relationship between the kinetic energy and the momentum?
What's the relationship between this theory and any physical evidence? Zero. There's no relationship. They don't have any physical evidence demonstrating this. They can't even reduplicate the Clay experiments, which got it off the ground. So they have no evidence. They just have assertions. This is our chart. Our chart says so. They have nothing that does what this chart says. They have no physical experiment where they'll demonstrate something doing what the chart says.
Because the momentum increases linearly with velocity, whereas the kinetic energy increases as the square of the velocity.
Which is just, look at it. I mean, it's this huge preposterous. So Newton predicted accurately the movement of the planets and the moons and everything with this line. And they're telling you, well, this is the real line. How is it?
So we define the momentum of a carrot P as its mass, m, times its velocity, v. So we can very easily substitute the momentum into the kinetic.
So this is it just gets too silly. You know, I mean, just all of this, we're going to substitute a wrong answer into a right answer and play a symbols game. And this is where they get these idiotic notions that, you know, you can have a one-mass object go with 100 velocity, hit a two-mass object, and give it 130 velocity. I mean, give it more velocity than half. And, you know, give it two-thirds the velocity and create an extra 30% momentum in that direction. And as a bonus, you get 30% this way extra. So you can take 100 momentums and turn them into 165 momentums. You can make more heat. If it was heat, you could understand what I'm saying, right? If I told you it's heat, you'd say, no, you can't turn 100 watts into 165 watts for free. There's no free way to do that.
Energy equation, a half mv squared, and we get kinetic energy is momentum squared over 2m. So the moral of all this is that if you want your carrot to be lethal, you fire it really, really fast.
All right, so this is more nonsense because, yes, in the real world, you can't do any of that crap, and the carrot's going to have huge air resistance, and the fact is it's going to land like a fucking carrot. It's going to land like a feather. So, yeah, you can fill a cannon full of feathers. Go ahead and try that and see how well it works. You know, you're not going to create any lethal feathers. So the carrot will never be able to do this cannon thing. The carrot will just break into pieces. The carrot will not be able to be this lethal thing, except maybe at 3 feet away. But as soon as the real forces get to it, if you throw it 100 yards, somebody can just catch the carrot because air resistance is going to wipe it out. Reality is going to wipe it out as this being having any effective energy. So again, just more, it's just so, this is just so bad. You know, it's so wrong.
It's the square of its velocity.
It really doesn't. It won't knock down more bowling pins, all of that kind of crap. The lighter object will not have more energy. All there is momentum, mass, and velocity. You can increase the mass, make more energy. You can increase the velocity, make more energy. That's all there is to play with.
So I hope that answered the question that was asked, and maybe found the video at least vaguely interesting.
Now, the real question is this is just a silly derivation where you're pretending $100 bills are 3 times more valuable than 100 singles. No, they're not.
If you have a question of your own that you want answering, please leave it in the comments or in a personal message, and I'll make a video on it when I have the time.
Yeah, well, none of that happened, so blah, 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 blah. Kayaking videos and shit.
As always, thanks for watching. Here's another couple of my videos, including the carrot video.
Yeah, so exciting. Anyway, it's a hopelessly silly world. So again, not that this video is terrible. I mean, they do a Brian Cox, you know, spoof, and it just, you know, the problem is it's not quite gay enough. But anyway, you know, it's just, you know, it's not very good, but, you know, they tried to be funny and tried to do this and tried to do that, and I guess they just didn't get enough attention, so they quit. And that's the internet. But anyway, it's terrible. So, yeah, I'm not publishing this comment because this is tripe. I showed you the Professor Lewin experiment. Your obligation is to explain how you can create more momentum and not call it free momentum and not call it free energy. Isn't momentum the same as heat? It's a real thing, momentum. And you have to account for it. If you're going to make extra momentum, that means you've made extra heat in any kind of rational system. Any, if you have a rational understanding of how systems work, more momentum is exactly more heat. You made free, okay, heat. You made free 65 free watts by just banging a light thing into a heavy thing. You made 65 free watts of energy. And explain it. Shit. But there won't be any explanation. That's why I have to talk to somebody in person so they don't evade these questions. They don't just keep pretending it isn't true. Newton didn't say F equals MA. I have to be able to say to them, show me where Newton said F equals MA. It's not Newton's formula. Newton's formula is F equals the change in your momentum over any unit of time. Because he was making a rate equation. He was giving you the option of understanding the force as a rate of force. Because he was talking about gravity. Alright. Yeah, it's enough. just so depressing. But, whatever. Endeavor to persevere, blah, 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 blah. So, till the next time. And such. Ah, yes, I was supposed to do this bit. This has been a draftphysics.com and debatephysics.com video presentation, but can't find anybody willing to do the debating thing. You know, I answer your bullshit, you answer mine. Yeah, that's the way debates work. You have to answer some questions. You don't just get to pontificate. Okay.